And we get a lot of good things from that book. But we're going to the book of Nehemiah this morning, third chapter. This is dealing with the building of the gates. Now, you remember in chapter 1, Nehemiah's burdened and he's troubled because the city wall has been torn down. Not only the walls, but the gates. And it mentioned it several times that the gates had been burned. And so we notice they've been building the wall. How long did it take them to build the wall? 52 days. 52 days. And so that's not long. That's just what? When you read this book of Nehemiah, you think it takes years. Amen. And as long as I've been teaching off of Nehemiah now for the last 6 months, you'd think it's already been 6 months. But they built it in 52 days. Because what? We saw in chapter 4 last week that they had a mind to work. Amen. And that's what we need. A mind to work. And we certainly need that in these days. And I would to God that we'd all get busy about the Father's business. Time's running out on us, by the way. And I've said that we need to build our walls and gates. We need to build that wall of protection. That wall was protection from the outside, kept the enemy out, and kept the saints in. And we need that wall of separation. And our churches need that separation. We need to be separated from the world. Not to be like the world, but to be separated from the world. Not to be holier than thou, and not to brag about our separation. I don't believe if you get where you need to be this morning, you'll go around bragging about you not doing this. You know, a fella said, I don't dip, don't chew, and don't associate with all them that do. You don't get that kind of way. I believe what happens, the closer you get to God, the more you're concerned about those who are not walking for God. Not in a critical sense, but in a sense of praying for them. Amen. For one, not for the grace of God, no telling where you'd be this morning, by the way. In Nehemiah chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible said, then Elisha, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priest, and they built the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananel. And next unto him build the men of Jericho, and next to them build Zachar, the son of Imri. And we'll stop right there. And we're going to look at it. We won't read all this chapter. There's a lot of big words in there. Don't try to get over those. But when I find big words like that, I say them the best I can and go on. I'm sure I missed it to lots. But anyhow, I make a stab at it. Don't let it get the best of me. When I first started studying the Word of God, I started with the book of Matthew. So-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so. Before I got through, I thought, what in the world are they talking about? And this didn't make good sense to me. But then, as I began to study, God put every bit of that in there for a purpose. And thank God there's not a word. I believe in inspiration of the Scriptures. I believe in the verbal inspiration of the Scriptures. And as the old term today that they'll give you, and somebody's, and I don't get into terms, you know I don't, except for trying to tell you what they are. But somebody said, I believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of the Scriptures. And everybody looks and said, well, all right, I know what inspiration is. What all that other? Verbal just means spoken word. Amen. Verbal, spoken word. Plenary just simply just says, hey, that's exactly what it is. Just plain. And plenary means it's like it says it is. And it's absolute. That's what he's saying. It's absolute. There's no other authority. That's it. The final word. The final authority. So I just say, hey, I believe in the inspiration of the Spirit, or the inspiration of the Word of God. And that means that God was in the midst of all of it, doing it. And that's good enough. Amen? And so now we know a few words and still don't know what we know. All right. But now we look at the Word of God this morning, and we see that we need to look at this business of building the gates. And look with me, please, in verse number 2, it said, and next unto him. And in the same verse it said, man, next to him, or next to them, in verse 4, I mentioned this the other day, and next unto them, and then down in the middle of that verse, and next unto them, and all the way down through, I've got them marked in my Bible. You might want to go home and mark them in yours. And that means that they were in unity. They were unified. These people begin to work next unto him. It's hard to get a church to work together. They've got their own little groups. Isn't it amazing? And I don't like it. And When I see people at the church getting football huddles, I begin to think they're trying to play in strategy, so I don't like it. I don't like people to have little groups. You have it everywhere, and you see a little group of working, talking here, and another little group of talking there, and guess what happens? I'm usually in the middle of some of them before it's over with. And I've just learned to do that down through the years. I keep the crowds broke up. Amen. Don't get no strategies against me or against the work of God. Been in this thing a long time. And we ought to learn to fellowship everybody together. Amen. We love one another. Amen. Not just a few. Amen. Well, that's a different... That'd make a message. So let's go to our Sunday school class. All right? Now look, we find that the priest in verse number 1, that's outside his work. That's outside of his realm. His job is to prepare the sacrifices and get those ready for the people. But we find the important work of building this wall, that now the priest is busy. And we find that these cities, this city needs that protective wall. And the gates, and if you want to stop and think about the gates for a minute, I've mentioned a little bit about this. But the gates were the place where they entered into the city. And at the gates is where a lot of business was taken care of. At the gates is where the officials, if you would, like we got today, the councils, your city councils, your town clerks and your commissioners and all that we have in the county. You understand what I'm talking about? That's where they did their business. And in other words, every city's got a city hall, whether they need one or not. You know, so they... And the gates is kind of like the city hall. It's where, not only that, but where they policed and watched and protected and, you know, kind of visualized what was coming in now the city. Would to God we'd think about that in America. Amen. From other countries. Would you? I'm not a politician, but I do believe we need some things settled. Now, we look here in chapter 3, verse 1. That they're building these gates. The first gate that they build is, if you notice in verse number 1, in the middle, they build the sheep gate. Put that down in your notes, the sheep gate. That's the first one. That's important. Now, why you have the sheep gate? Now, when I went to the Holy Land back in the 1970s, early 70s, we went over there, and they had some gates. Those gates were there. They didn't call them the same thing here. The names have changed. I haven't gone into studying to find out what they changed to and what they were here and what they correspond to today. But I remember the Damascus Gate that we went in and out of it, and another gate or two. And I remember one I'll mention some as we come down, how that we came in and out those. But they had those gates. And the old city, Jerusalem, still has gates. And they use those. And they did have a sheep gate. The sheep gate is one I remember that we went in, we went through and saw it. And the sheep gate is where that they bartered and sold and kept their sheep. Now that's what we find at the sheep gate. Now we think about the sheep gate this morning. I'm just going to give you a few things as we go down and look at these gates. I'm just going to give you a few things about what the sheep gates and all these gates are a type of and a typology of it, okay? If we don't have time, we're not going to get this. I won't finish this at all this morning, I know. And I was going to skip this third chapter, but at least we need to understand a little bit about it and go into it. So the first gate in Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse 1 that they repaired is the sheep gate. And that is where the sheep, you know what the sheep was used for, don't you? Tell me right quick. Sacrifice, all right. This is not a quiz, I just want you to know. They had sacrifice. This is where they brought the sheep in for sacrifice. There also was a little pool there. That's where they cleansed the sacrifices sometimes and washed the sacrifice, the cleansing of the sheep and so forth. And not only did they bring in sheep there, they also had some sheep trading. Now, I remember this with our guide, and he was showing us some things, and it had a little group of sheep over here and another flock of sheep over here, another little flock of sheep over here, and they were all huddled up together. And the shepherds were sitting up there, sitting with their feet crossed on the ground, and they were trading beads and jewelry of all kinds. And I thought, what's going on? Ask the guide. He said, that's what they're trading. They're just trading, and that's how they make their living, that, and trading sheep and trading things. And so we asked, where's the wives? And he said, oh, the wives are out in the fields. They're fixing the fields and toting the water. I said, you mean to tell me they're doing the work and the men sitting here trading? I said, that's the way they are. That's the custom. That's in the 70s. I don't guess it's changed a whole lot from that in the old city, but I remember the old city was something. Now, they have the new city, Jerusalem, and it's different. Amen. And I remember we went over there, the first-class hotels and motels over there were like your fifth class here in America. Amen. And I never will forget that. My wife and I were in the room, and we searched for about an hour trying to find out how you flush the toilet. And one of them finally told us, there's a string right up there you pull. And you pull the string. I've never seen that. I thought that's how I used to turn on the light bulb. Remember that? All right, the sheep gate. So we find the sheep gate's the first place that they did. Now, and this is a type of Christ who is the what? The Lamb of God. When you think about the sheep gate, and that's where he started. Notice what they started with first was the sheep gate. And Jesus is the answer, is the open door and the hope for all mankind. He's the first we come to. And without Jesus, you have no religion. Amen. Well, you can have religion without Jesus. Excuse me, I'll back up on that. Too many's got religion without Jesus. But you can't have no Christianity without Christ. And so there's no salvation without Christ. He is the only way to heaven. The only way to heaven. The only way to heaven. I want to act like a broken record here because people don't know that. You'd be amazed that people in America call themselves Baptists don't believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. But He is. He's the only way to heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Amen. That's the message of the church. That's the message that we're to teach and preach. Now, this is a type of the Lamb of God. This gate reminds us of the Lamb of God. And it's also, if you will, I said this a while ago, said again, put this in your notes, it's the first gate repaired. The first gate repaired is the sheep gate. And it's the only one, and I mentioned this one, as I read it a while ago, I didn't pick it out and point it out to you, but I want to show you this word. Let's read this verse one more time. Then Elisha, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priest, and they build the sheep gate. They, next word, what is it? Sanctified it. Underline or circle it or mark that word, sanctified. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the Tower of Mia. They, what? Sanctified it unto the Tower of Haniel. Now God said that they sanctified, it's the only gate of all these others they repaired that was sanctified. Amen. Sanctified means set apart. Means it's special. It's peculiar. It's different than all the other gates. You got it? Amen. A child of God, sanctified, scares Baptists to death, but you're sanctified if you're anything at all worth using. God don't use anything that ain't sanctified. Now, if you don't think you're sanctified, you need to get right with God. He'll sanctify you. It means He'll set you apart for His use. That's not a word that scares me. There's no service for God without sanctification. You've got to be sanctified. That means God set you apart. You're God's chosen vessel. You know, even you is and me. Just think of it. If you drink coffee, some of you may not drink coffee. You know, we got some won't drink this, some won't drink that, but somebody got to drink something. Amen. You said, all I drink is water. That's all right. But even when you drink your water, if you drink, you usually try to drink it out of certain glasses you got at your house you like better than others. I like drinking coffee out of my certain coffee cups. My wife wants to change them every once in a while. She puts another one down, and I look at it, and I don't say much. I've been married a long time, and that's why I've been married a long time. You got it? But I look at that, I do make comments every now and then, I don't particularly, well, how do you like your new cups? Don't care for them. Why? I thought they're pretty. Well, they're pretty, but they don't, the bottom on them's rounded and I can turn them over too easy. I like a cup that sits down flat. Amen. Well, she gets me some that sits down flat, and now the next thing you know, you can't put but one little finger in it. How do you like that? You see what? But I'm talking about that. That to me is the type God does. God don't just go around and pick up anything. He wants His vessels a certain way. So when they take this gate, what did they do? They sanctified this gate. They set it apart. This is not set apart for us. This gate is set apart for God. And God's going to use this gate. So you see now they're in harmony. They're doing that. So the first gate that they put together and repaired. Remember this, they're not building gates. They're repairing gates. Now they've been burned. Repaired them. Sometimes they had to do a lot more work than others. And there's one that didn't do any work too. Amen. We're going to get to that in just a little bit. But in chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, we find that they built the sheep gate. Now in verse number 3, look with me. The next gate. But the fish gate did the sons of Hanasseh build, who also laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. Now I want to point out something. The second gate is the fish gate. What in the world's a fish gate? What's that represent? Okay, the fish gate. You remember, and this is still one of the big things that they do to support themselves is fishing in the Holy Land. We'd get up early in the morning and the boats had done gone out on the Sea of Galilee. Early in the morning, they're done gone out. You can watch them. They're out there already fishing. You remember when Jesus called His disciples, Peter, James, and John particularly, they were fishers and fishing. And God didn't change their occupation. He just put them in a bigger field. They're still not to catch fish now, but to catch men. And He uses the church to do that, and that's what we're to do. So when we think about the fish gate, we're thinking about fishers of men. What they would do is bring those fish in that they'd caught in the Jordan River, that they'd caught in the Sea of Galilee, and that they'd caught out of the Mediterranean. There's one more body of water there that they have called the Dead Sea, but there's nothing living in the Dead Sea. 26% salt, and they just harvest salt out of that. That's all they can get out of it. But we know that in that course of time that they are bringing that, and that's where they brought the fish in. That was the fish gate. That's where they're going to bring that fish in. Not coming in the main gate, not coming in the sheep gate. See, everything's specialized and set forth. And I believe that's the way God does His work. And we'll talk about that as we get this, all right? Amen. We all come in the same door back there. But if we're building a wall around the city to protect it and the things, we've got different gates. And so the fish gate is where they come in to bring it. And these fishermen would bring them in. They'd catch it. And that's what they'd do. They'd sell their wares or their fish. They'd sometimes bring it in to prepare it for some others, and there was food. But there's some kind of service going on, and that's what they did. At the fish gate, they bought and sold and fished and brought in. That was the activity of the fishing. And see, that's what the Lord wants us to do in the church. He wants us to bring sinners in, to get them saved. Our job is, lots of times, and I take a different view for the church than most folks do. You know, the church is not the happy hour for saints. Amen. I'll explain that a little bit later today. Amen. It's not the happy hour for saints. This is a place we come to do one job, and that is to worship the Lord God Almighty, to get our hearts prepared to go out to do a service for the King, and our service is to reach out to lost sinners and see them saved by God's grace. So there's the fish gate. Let me point out something else that's mentioned in this fish gate that's not mentioned in the sheep gate, and that is this. Look in verse 3 again. But the fish gate did the sons of Hanasseh build, who also laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof. Now notice the phrase, the locks thereof and the bars thereof. On this fish gate, they had locks on the door and they had bars on the door. They shut it at a certain time. You understand that? Now you go down to the sheep gate. Why did they not have any locks and bars on it? Because it's the place of salvation. Amen. And salvation's door is never shut to mankind. No bars and no locks. I love the way the Bible's laid out, don't you? Every word God put in there, I don't understand a lot of them. I look at them sometimes and I just draw up and I say, Lord, I don't understand that. I can't see that. And sometimes I've got hung out on and say, Oh, Lord. you know, I get tied up to words and words. And what I do finally is I move on. And that's what I always tell you. If you cannot get an answer from a certain scriptures, don't worry yourself to death. Read it, reread it, study on it, meditate on it, think on it when you go to bed, but don't let it tire your nerves up. I've seen people get tore up off the Word of God and they just about have to have nerve pills. That's ridiculous. Understand? If you can't understand it now, just wait a little while. What you're trying to do is feed a baby steak and you ain't got no teeth yet. So what you need to do is grow a little teeth, and after a while you'll understand it. You're still on the bottle. Stay on the bottle till you get off of it. You hadn't been weaned yet. So we grow in grace, right? There's things I can understand about the Word of God today that's so plain to me that 20 years ago I stumbled over. And I heard preachers preach on it. They'd preach and they'd say this, and I'd say, where in the world do they get that? And I'd go home, and then I'd start repeating what they said. And I'd preach a little of that because it showed me light on it, you know, at least told me. Well, then I study a little bit more and preach a little more, and after a while I look at it and I say, now I know why they said that. Now I know why they said that. They were right all the time. You ain't never done that, have you? You quote a lot of things preachers say and don't know why they quote it or why they're saying it. Amen? But it's a joy when you one day your eyes opened up. You're just like the fella down at the hog lot. I'm not talking about backslid on God now. I'm talking about this part of his life. He's down at the hog lot. He's so hungry. He would fain have eaten the slop. I mean, he's just at the place of it just to give him what the hogs is eating. He'd have took it. He was so hungry. But the Bible said he came to himself. When he came to himself, he realized that the Father's house and his hired servants had more than he had. And he got up and got at it. Sometimes I'm looking at it, I'm studying the Word of God, and all of a sudden, it comes to me. So just keep on. Studying the Word of God. It'll come to you. All right. So we find the second gate is the feast gate. Now, let's go down to verse 6. We're going to skip a few verses. These are big words. And these fellows just, you remember verse 4 says, next unto them, and next unto them, and next unto them, three times in that verse. And verse 5 said, and next unto them, they were in total, harmony. Amen. Then verse number 5, I thought of this, some of you folks, when I read this verse. And next unto them, the Tekoites. Now that don't mean down here in Tekoa, Georgia. Amen. I have had people to talk about that. Tekoa. I mean, you'd be surprised what people take up of the Word of God. He's not talking about the place here. But he's saying these the people here, they begin to repair these walls and gates. Verse 6. The Bible said, moreover, the old gate. The third gate. Isn't this a third gate? We got the sheep gate with no locks and no bars. We've got the fish gate with locks and bars on it. Amen. They shut it at a certain time and locked it. They kept the traffic in and out. But the sheep gate is not closed. Amen. Always open for sacrifice. Amen. It's a type of always a new and a living way. Now in Christ has been opened. We don't have to bring sheep because our supreme sacrifice has already been given. That is Jesus Christ. Now, verse 6. Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshullam, the son of Besodiah. They laid the beams thereof and set upon the doors thereof and the locks thereof and the bars thereof. Now we're going to find they made another gate here and they put bars and locks on it. That means they can close it at the appointed time that they want to. It's not open all the time. It's got some opens and closings. So the old gate. Now what is the old gate? The old gate reminds us of the ancient gate. That's what it reminds us in the word, the ancient gate. It actually reminds us of the old paths. Amen. If you want a scripture on that, turn with me, please, and you need to turn. I've preached off of this, looked at it before, but to mark it in your Bible, go to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6, the old gate. Most of you know where I'm going anyhow with this, but I want you to look at it. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse number 16. And it's mentioned some other places in the Word of God, but it said here, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Saints of God, that's what we need this morning. The old paths are not popular anymore. The old ways of God are laughed at, made fun of, squandered. The old paths are trodden down. People don't want it. We're in a new age now. They don't want it. But he said here, ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk there. God calls the old paths the good way. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. And that's what they're saying today. But the old gate reminds us of the old paths. And not only the old paths, but the old truths that we've been taught for so long. You know, I get disturbed that somebody tries to take the church away from the truth or take the truth away from the church. Don't you? I believe we need to hold to the truth. That's why we hold to the same Bible, amen, that they've held to for ages and years. Thank God for that. This world's looking for new ways. They're looking for other ways. And if you'll ask a lot of people today, they'll tell you there's many ways to heaven. That's what they tell you. Now, don't you misunderstand and go out of this building and say, that preacher said there's many ways. I did not. If you lie on me like that, I hope every flea in Texas gets on you too. Amen. I want you to know I did not say that. I'm telling you the world says this morning that there's better ways and new ways. But I read in my Bible that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through Jesus Christ. Amen. Is that right? Praise God. Some of you act like you're about half asleep this morning. All right. The world's looking for new ways. They're looking for new truths. But there are no new ways. Jesus is the old way. Now, moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada. See, they repaired it and got it straightened out. And they got that going. It's still got its walls or its bars and its locks on it. So the old gate can be shut every once in a while. It needs to. You know, so why? To keep out error. To keep out false prophets. Or we should say false teachers of our day, of course. The day of the prophets are over. Amen. Listening one time years ago as a young preacher, the old fellow got on, he said, this is prophet so-and-so. He's big on the big gun station of Atlanta, Georgia. And I was listening, had all them preachers on it, and he said, this is prophet so-and-so. And I looked and I went on. I didn't pay no attention to it because I didn't know it any better. And I thought, well, here's a prophet. Let's listen to him. Listen to him. And it wasn't long. I found out he wasn't teaching the Word of God correctly. And then I learned in the Word of God that the days of the prophets are over. God has spoken in sundry times and in divers manners. He spoke with the prophets, as in these last days spoken by His Son, Jesus Christ. And prophets are over. The last, amen, somebody said the last of the prophets was John the Baptist. Well, the last of the prophets was Jesus Christ. He's the prophet of all prophets. Amen. Don't need a prophet now. Amen. You go on and tell them that if you want to, but you can put my name on it. Amen. I don't care. But anyhow, I'm telling you, the days of the prophets are over. But we're looking here, and we're finding that they built this old gate. I'll give you one more, because time's going to catch us, and we're going to have to get out of this. So we skip down into verse number 13. We're going to one more gate. How many does that make us? One, two, three. This will be number four? Or five? No, number four, won't it? Verse 13, the valley gate repaired Hanan and the inhabitants of Zanoah. They built it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof, and 1,000 cubits on the wall under the dung gate. Now, we're going to talk about right now primarily the valley gate. This will be gate number four, the valley gate. Now, you can kind of picture what the valley gate is. How many of you have ever been in a valley? Amen. Well, the rest of you fixing to go. There's a few of you didn't raise your hand. You ain't been in the valley. You must not been doing too much for the Lord. So if you hadn't been in the valley, the rest of you must have been on the mountaintop all your life. It's high time you come off the mountain. The valleys is where you grow. But the valley gate, and it's what it's type of, it's representing this morning. This valley gate led to the valley of Jehoshaphat, where lots of battles were fought. In the valley is where you fight the battles. Amen. Sometimes they fortify a hillside and a mountain and hold the mountain. But most of the time, the valleys is where the battles are really fought. Amen. Sometimes you get a strategic point in your life spiritually, you have to hold the mountain. Amen. To be able to enjoy. But a lot of times it's in the valleys, and that's when you get off the mountain, and down in the valleys where you fight the battle. It shows humility. Brother, you can't shout too well in the valley. Amen. Have you ever seen a child of God shouting while he is suffering? It's not easy, but God tells us to do it anyhow. Amen. That's right. He said we're even to rejoice because afflictions and trials come to us. Tells us to do that. Now, that's one of the hard things I haven't learned well on yet. I stump my finger. I don't holler glory, glory, glory and shout for heaven. Amen. Of course, I don't go any other route and say bad words either. That's out of my mouth. Thank God for that. But I want to tell you something. There's times I do not rejoice because I feel like I can't rejoice. I'm in the valley. Amen. And when you're in the valley, somebody says, how you doing? Yeah, I'm pretty good under the circumstances, preacher. Get out from under the circumstances, they'll kill you. They will. You're letting the devil. Somebody said, the devil's been on my back all week. I heard a preacher one time say, and I picked it up and carried it. He said, knock that rascal off. Let him walk. Don't carry him. Been on your back all week? All right. Well, you enter this valley to get the humility, and now that humility, God brings us through that. And He brings us and finds relief. And that's what this valley gates for. We come out of the valley and get in here for refuge. That valley gate's got to be there to get out of the valley, get out of the fighting, get in to safety, to get the victory, to get the place where God wants us to be. That's where we need to be. It's a type of the trials and the tribulations that the child of God's got to go through. I'm going to mark this morning because we'll pick up again next week with gate number 5, and we'll talk about it. But we got the first four gates. Actually, I didn't get as far as I thought we'd get. I didn't think we'd get them all, but I did think we'd get further down on these. And maybe we're too involved in it. But you can go home and study on these things a little bit more. They're a type, and they're there for a purpose, and God puts them there. So I believe you can understand. We start with the sheep gate. I'll throw this one thing in. We start with the sheep gate, and to get the last verse of this chapter, and between the going up of the corner under the sheep gate, repaired the goldsmiths and the merchants. They got back around to the sheep gate. They went around the city wall and got back around to the sheep gate. You start at the sheep gate, you end with the sheep gate. Amen. So you got to start right to end right. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, touch our hearts this morning. Give us the victory we need in our soul. Give us the strength and encouragement we need in the song service today. And then in the message, give us something from heaven. Lord, spread the table that our hearts might be fed. Lord, we're hungry. We need something. Lord, we're fighting a cruel world. Lord, there's a dark world out there that needs light. And I pray, God, you'd fill our lamps with light this morning that we can go shine forth for the glory of God, that Jesus might be lifted and exalted, souls might be saved. Send in the crowd, Lord, today, and we'll give you the praise and the glory for what you're going to accomplish. Touch hearts, save souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.